We turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 5. In case you're wondering, we're not starting our series through Deuteronomy yet. But this verse is something I was thinking about this week. I'd like to think about it more with you this evening. I will comment on this in the sermon, but you might note what comes before this verse. Although we are being given a lot of case laws here, they're not all immediately connected or dependent upon one another. But it's interesting that Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, is where they are given a license, giving a freedom by Moses to be able to divorce their wives. And we know that Jesus, in Matthew 19, dealing with the Pharisees, says, you know, Moses gave them this law because of the hardness of their hearts. This was to control the situation. It wasn't a sanctioning of divorce. It wasn't an encouragement. In fact, we know from many scriptures that God doesn't countenance it, and it a big concern is what it'll do to the families and the covenant children of the church. But that's interesting to consider what comes right before our verse this evening, although I'll mostly leave it at that. Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. Let's read that one more time together. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. May the Lord bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the responding in obedience to his holy word, for the good of his name, for the good of his church, and for our own good as husbands and wives and families of God. Well, as you know, I'm planning to preach through Deuteronomy, and I'm hoping to get to Deuteronomy in the new year. I have all my books now, and I'm a little intimidated. I got to get started reading through all the introductions, but I'm excited, too. Got some great resources, asking a number of pastors and professors. And again, we'll be doing Philippians in the evening. But I plan on going at least through the end of this year with some thematic sermons. I'm here in Deuteronomy tonight, far ahead, and we'll come back to it and consider this with more detail. But I was blessed by this text, thinking about it a little bit out of context, but I think with appropriate application that I'd like to share with you tonight. I was blessed by this text the last 2 weeks while helping my wife, while I took vacation, helping her with the new baby, mostly just being there, holding the baby, helping with the baby, not ending up doing a lot else, did a lot, but not as much as I was anticipating to do on vacation. And I want to share an application of that with this verse that I thought about, of the blessing that comes with it, especially with Thanksgiving this week and the opportunity to abide with one another in fellowship. A general rule here that I think we can apply to different situations and enjoy it as much as possible. You know, again, it's not something we have to follow in exact detail. This is part of the judicial case law that's now expired in details, usually with the coming of Christ, but the general principles remain, and I think there's one to be benefiting from here. And here's when I thought about it. I was holding Gideon, and I was rocking him a lot over the last 2 weeks. Often, don't tell anyone I said this. Keep it to yourselves. Don't tell each other. But often in my pajamas, too late in the day, and you know, partly because not getting a whole lot of sleep, but just often I had him in the baby's room and rocking him in the chair, and I was just holding him, and I was just looking at him. And I think he was looking back at me at this moment. I thought to myself, boy, I'm not getting done what I had really been planning to get done during this vacation, especially before Thanksgiving. And I thought to myself, relax, enjoy it, take it in, be blessed. I did have a lot to do that included for him different kinds of paperwork and things, but mostly, most of the time I was just taking care of this little guy, helping, spending time with him. And I said to myself, this is good. I'm just sitting here in my pajamas. Don't tell anybody that part. And I'm holding my little guy and I'm looking at him and I'm just enjoying him. I'm not doing anything else. And I said, that's okay. This is good. I said, first of all, to myself, this is good because Elder Renner will not kill me because he thinks that I'm not resting and taking a vacation. I don't want to have to tell him I did too much. And I know that if I told him this, he'd be happy. So that was one significant, it really was, brother, thank you. He was giving me a little bit of a hard time, a helpful hard time. You need to actually relax and rest. So I did, and it was helpful. But the second reason, and this is what came to my mind with this verse, more importantly, we're new to each other. I'm just meeting this guy. He's new to the world. He's new to our family. He's new to me. And I should just enjoy vacation, spending time bonding with our son together. I should just be spending time getting to know him and him getting me. This is valuable time. It's not anything that I can, you know, check off the list. I got it done. Let me tell you, I got a couple things done, but most of my list is still there. I am a guy that likes to check things off my list. But this is good. Time together bonding with my new son, his new daddy. Time as a family bonding together with him and him with us. This is important. It's a principle from our text that I'm applying to that new context. It is important to take time to bond. That's what came to me, and I was thinking of this verse, and I'm sharing it with you tonight, and that's the point of the sermon for you this evening. It is important to take time to bond. It doesn't happen on its own. It's extremely important. It is important to take time to bond. That's the message for you this evening. But I would have benefited from it meditating on this verse earlier in my new second marriage after becoming a widower. As you know, we had difficulties the first year or so of our marriage. We had a lot of challenges getting grounded during our first year or so. There are a number of issues related to both of our unique life situations that we were brought together. But this text hit me right between the eyes as I was studying it today. I think it was one of the most significant ways I could have drastically improved our early marriage and our family and our church experience. What does it say? For 1 year, don't go to war, don't go away on business, stay home and bring cheer to your wife. What did I do? Within the first 6 or 7 months, I went on 3 different church business trips. 2 of them were in the first couple of months from the time we were married and from within one another. Now, I wanted to kind of give myself a little bit of a break. There was a lot of adjustment for all of us to learn, but I thought to myself, I could have took her with me. I could have took her with me on all those trips. After all, we met, we were married quickly, we needed a lot of time to get to know one another. I should have took her with me. I think that could have been a way of applying this text, and I think it would have helped us a lot. Sometimes the way this could be looked at is others could be looking for time, more for wife, more for family, with a change of hours or a change of profession if necessary, to be available, especially early on in a marriage with young children. How is a man to be with his new wife? That's the question of this text. A new wife. How is a man, a husband, to be with his new wife? Here's the answer. By prioritizing being with her. To build a firm family foundation. I give that to you again as the general idea of the text. How is a man to be with his new wife? By prioritizing being with her. To build a firm family foundation. And it strikes me as I'm thinking about this that I don't think a lot of men have this wisdom, including in the church, including in many of Christian families. So may the Lord help us grow with it and be good advisors to others with it. Regarding the wife directly, certainly this is what the verse is about, but notice the implied family extension of their foundation. As we sang in Psalm 128, verse 3, your wife will be a fruitful vine on the sides of your house, bearing children olives around your table. We take care of her. We establish a good potting of the plant, a good cultivating and watering. We know that anytime we plant something new, the most important time is that first year or so. Usually after 3 years, things really seem to blossom. But if you don't give it that initial time, it isn't going to make it, or it's not going to make it well. It's not going to thrive. And notice this, beloved. God actually designs into his chosen people as a people in the promised land a 1-year honeymoon, if you will, of sorts at least, for the wife in a new marriage which a man has chosen. He says, here are my chosen people in the new promised land. Here's how you're going to be when you get a new wife. He actually gives us a law for this. He says, don't go to war, young man. Don't be distracted with big business ventures, such as long business traveling trips. Think about particularly in their experience without modern technology to communicate, without modern ways of traveling. It could be a really long time before you would see your wife again or have any meaningful, if any, really contact. I mean, no mail system. Why? Because the husband needs to be free to be in his home for 1 year. That's what it says. The husband needs to be free to be home for 1 year with his new bride. Wow. But isn't that wisdom when you think about it? It takes time together, just learning how to relate with one another, just learning how each other ticks and how each other works, learning and developing the relationship. It takes time, time that you can really have struggle getting back. Matthew Henry puts it this way about the text. Here is provision made for the preservation and confirmation of love between new married people. It's interesting, though, again, that this is a list of various case laws. They're not necessarily all connected directly. But nonetheless, this case law comes right after verses 1 through 4. Again, Moses' command restricting divorce, restricting what you can do, and requiring a certificate. You can't take back the first wife. You're going to have to take care of the second wife. But perhaps it's more designed, if it is connected to the first four verses, that you would never get to the point where you would get rid of your new wife, your first new wife, that you'd never get to the point where you do divorce her and let her go. Now, considering Matthew 19, that could be the case. They come to Jesus in Matthew 19 and says, hey, can we divorce our wives for any reason? And he says, only for the case of adultery. And he says, but before that, he actually says, that's not the way it was from the beginning in Genesis. Stay married and make your marriage work. And they said, oh, but Moses, quoting chapter 24 here, verses 1 through 4, he commanded us about divorce. Jesus, no, he didn't command you. He gave you a concession and he gave you restrictions about divorce. But he says, from the beginning, it was not so. Therefore, let no man separate what God has joined together. He has an exception at the end. But notice that Jesus is saying it's not actually a good thing. So it could be that maybe verse 5, we need to know to stay with our new wife for a year so that we don't get to the point where we're asking to divorce and how we can get away with it. It's certainly the important reference point of the command in Proverbs 15, verse 8. Proverbs 5, verse 18 says this, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Well, it's assuming you have a foundation that you've built with your wife, according to this kind of scripture. But if you haven't built a proper foundation, if you haven't spent those early years of being newlyweds well with just having time to bond together, what are you going to have to work with later on with that wife of your youth who you and she are no longer young? It assumes a husband has taken such time early on to build off of and return to for a strong marriage and family over the years. John Calvin says some important words about our text. It's a little bit long. I ask you to benefit paying attention. I think it's important. He says, the immunity here given has for its object the awakening of that mutual love which may preserve the conjugal fidelity of husband and wife. For there is danger lest if a husband departs from his wife immediately after marriage, the bride, before she has become thoroughly accustomed to him, should be too prone to fall in love with someone else. A similar danger affects the husband, for in war and other expeditions, many things occur which tempt men to sin. I think it could be argued many business trips could bring the same kind of temptations. Calvin goes on to say, God, therefore, would have the love of husband and wife fostered by their association for a whole year, that thus mutual confidence may be established between them, and they may afterwards continually beware of all incontinency. So give it a good year to have a strong foundation so that when husband does need to go off, because it isn't that there isn't a need for men to go to war, there isn't that there isn't a need for men to go on business trips, but make sure that you have a good foundation before you do, or you're taking the risk that wife or husband, in their immaturity, including in her new relationship, could become afraid, could become needy, and someone else is introduced in the meantime, and they wrongly turn to that person. It's just wise, isn't it? You build that good foundation, you're much more likely to remain loyal. Perhaps this is also important to God because marriage is one of the most used metaphors in the Bible to communicate about his relationship and Christ's relationship to his church as the bride. And so goes marriage, so goes the family, so goes the church, so goes society. But what about particularly a witness? And of course, God says elsewhere, reason he hates divorce, and the prophets, one of the significant concerns is what is it going to do to the covenant children? What is it going to do to the future of the church? So how important it is to God that a proper foundation would be established between a new husband and a new wife who have to learn how to be married, who have to learn about which way are they going to have the toilet paper hanging, who have to deal with which way is the tube of toothpaste going to be squeezed. Things you and I laugh about, but we do fight about in marriage. And of course, much more important things that we just have to learn how to do together, how to communicate, learn how to have a disagreement together, learn how to work through things, learn how to lead, learn how to follow. And especially if it's in a more challenging situation, there's all these other things to learn how to work through together. And you need time to be together to be able to do that, to be able to bond, to build that bond. At the formation of a marriage, husband and wife need to establish a good foundation. This takes time. It takes quality time that comes only by making quantity time consecutively, being present early and often and ongoing. Maybe something Adam could have been doing better for Eve, and she would have never begun to have a conversation with a snake. Men, I want you to notice something. This is directed to you. This is your responsibility. It is not the wife's responsibility to try to get you to spend time with them. It's your responsibility to protect that and to make it happen. Think about this. You are the one that's called to work, to provide. You are the one particularly that is going to be challenged with many different responsibilities that can easily take over prioritizing time with your wives. Things that are not necessarily unlawful, but need to have the back seat to the moment of building a relationship with your new wife. Especially early in life, especially early in marriage, when you're trying to establish other more important things. But it is your responsibility as a man to protect your time from those other things that will come seeking to steal your time away. Protect your time with your wife. Protect your time with your children. Jesus spends time with you, and Jesus calls you to spend quality time with him, quantitatively with him, because he knows you need it. He knows you need him. And a lack of time with him can be devastating. Your relationships develop depending on how much time you sacrifice to give to him and to give to one another. And it's not just busy work. Now, I appreciate working together. One of the things I loved about sweeping the parking lot together recently is it gave us an opportunity to just be together and to have fellowship. But there are limitations with that kind of time together. We need time to simply just relate. We need time to simply rest, to focus on one another, to focus on really important things that the world doesn't think is a priority. We're talking again about bonding. It's so important to bond, and it's so easy to sacrifice such bonding. Think about when we bond glue, when we use glue to bond things together. Now, there's a lot of different glues for a lot of different kinds of adhesions and applications. But regardless of what you're using it for, regardless of how much time you need to give for it to dry properly, if you don't read the directions for that particular glue you're going to use, when you try and use it on something that needs to be brought together, two things brought together, and by the way, it says that man and woman are to leave their parents and cleave to their husband and wife. And that is the idea in the Hebrew of the glue, a bond that can't be broken. But if you want that glue to stick together in marriage of cleaving husband and wife, you got to make sure that you allow enough time for the glue to dry properly. You can want to rush it. You can want to think it's going to be good enough. You can go back and try to push it back together later. I'm notorious for that. Do you know how many things I keep going back to because I didn't try the right glue or I didn't make time to do it right, and I'm constantly going back, and it's just become more of a mess and harder to keep together. If you put the right time to do it right and let the glue dry according to the instructions of the maker, it'll hold. But if you don't let it dry according to the time that it needs, it won't bond properly, and the bond won't hold because sufficient time was not taken simply to bond. I mean, I don't think any of us sit there and watch glue dry, right? Ooh, look at that go. We are progressing, right? But it's vital, isn't it? It's the kind of thing we ignore, go to the other room, do something else. But if that glue isn't drying, it isn't going to hold. And God wants us to give special time to make something that's a new bond dry properly so that it holds and so that it lasts. And I was thankful to think about this verse again as I was thinking about bonding with Gideon, just holding them there saying, this is the kind of thing God says is good. It's not, I mean, and I'm not one that doesn't, I can sit around and drink a good cup of coffee, and you know me, talk for, I mean, I don't mind sitting around and relating, but there's also that side of me that I got to get stuff done. I got to get stuff done. And I can miss the moment and I can miss the bonding. And you got to clear not only your schedule, but you got to clear your head and be there in the moment. And I was so thankful to have this verse to make me feel comfortable to just sit on the rocking chair in my pajamas and look at my beautiful new boy and just be with him, trusting that God is doing something with it, even in his wee youth. And he's going to do something with it because he's going to help me and him and our family establish patterns that will stand the test of time. The family bonding together with him and one another around him is so important, and it just takes time. That's why paternity leave in California isn't such a bad idea. And frankly, I never thought much about it before. For new fathers, I think this modern law reflects the general principle of this text. It's not a year. We might say, oh, I can't believe, give dad however much time. Well, God gave a year, at least for a new wife. I saw on a website, workerlawyers.com, I think it's called, they said paternity leave in California for new fathers is something that is important. Many men do have a legal right to take up to 12 weeks family leave, which can be used, notice they say, to bond. Which can be used to bond with a new child or care for a spouse with a serious health condition. It may or may not include pay, but it's time with the guarantee you got the job when you're ready to come back. Again, it certainly reflects the general principle of our text this evening. And it's why I was thinking about it as I was just sitting there rocking my boy for a long time, for most of the time of my vacation. And it was great. It was so great to have this verse to just allow me that freedom to do it, knowing I'm not being lazy. I'm not neglecting important things. I'm focusing on the main important thing. The rest will get done in time. And whatever doesn't get done, it doesn't matter. God so values forming family foundations between new husbands and new wives, and by extension, certainly together with their new children, that he commands tithing their time at the beginning of their relationship, the beginning of their marriage, the beginning of the start of their lives together, to make sure that time doesn't get away from them. And so that neither do they nor their children get away from one another, drifting apart because they didn't take proper time to bond from the start. I can't help but think of the song Cats in the Cradle. You might go and revisit those lyrics. You see, time goes fast, and it's hard to get such moments back if you don't make them and make the most of them. And in the end, this is the only thing we will care about when we prepare to transition into eternity. I was thinking about a book, Focus on the Family, a book that was written for newlyweds, husbands and wives new in marriage. It's interesting what they advised that I think also illustrates this principle. Recognizing the need for husband and wife to bond and start a good foundation, they advised two things. For the first year, number one, and they're both negative in a sense, number one, do not buy a house your first year of marriage. It's not worth the stress. It's not worth the difficulty of it. The second thing, you want to know what they said? Don't have this for the first year of your marriage. A television. Because it forces you to be not distracted with important but not foundational things. So you focus on the solid spiritual formation of your family. Giving your time that could easily consume your full attention by bonding with other things that are important building block layers but not the bedrock that holds them up and holds them together. Family comes first. Relationships need our undivided attention. Committed time, especially early on, in new situations and surroundings. This Thanksgiving, during the pandemic and its restrictions, you may have extra time, but with less of your loved ones. Focus on the ones that you will be with. And don't get too busy. Just enjoy looking at one another, talking with one another, cuddling with one another. Don't work too much. Talk a lot. Lose track of time over a cup of coffee. Lose track of time sitting by the ocean. And make calls and take calls with those that you can't be with in person. And prepare proper time to make it more than a happy Thanksgiving. Gotta go, gotta eat. Think of those who may have no one with them. Make those calls and be ready to give your time to those calls. Talk and relate and grow in your relationships. And beloved, texting doesn't count. And neither does task-oriented checking in. Make it truly social in your use of media by calling to speak with your voice and to hear the other voice in return for an extended period of time. Say hello and spend time listening and not typing. And spend special time with God. Redeem your time with Him in special moments of grateful meditation. And He will reward you with the results of this wisdom in all your vital relationships. And the wisdom is this, the message of this sermon for you this evening. It is important to take time to bond. It's important to take time to bond. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us for how we often do not redeem the time because the days are evil. And trying to suck away all that is good and holy, all that is righteous, all that is vital, seeking to steal away our attention with the things of this world, treasuring it up in our hearts, sacrificing time with you and with our loved ones. And Lord, we pray you to give us this wisdom to make up for lost time and to give advice to others to make sure they use their time well when they enter a new relationship, especially of marriage, especially with new children, having the proper time to bond, to stand the tests of time. Lord God, forgive us for where we have sinned against this. Forgive us for where we have simply neglected it in ignorance or forgetfulness. Thank you for bringing it to our attention and help us to make good use of it. Reward us with it, Lord. Help us indeed to prioritize what matters most and to block out from our ears and eyes the influence of the world that would call upon us to sacrifice such time, especially at the most important building of the foundation. Lord, let us not build our house upon sand, but on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it simply takes time to do that. Lord, help us spend important time with you. Thank you for this time with you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this wisdom, for giving us this freedom to enjoy one another. As we return on this Thursday to give up Thanksgiving, may we enjoy the time together, worshiping you. As we have special time together in our homes, may we enjoy the time together and let whatever needs to get done wait another time. Help us to be mindful of those that we need to have more time with on the phones. And help us, Lord, to make that time, not just throw it in where there's little time, but that we can have time and really bond in new ways. For before we know it, it'll be the ones that we've bonded with that will be the ones we rely on the most in the end, and that we are able to give ourselves to as well. Lord Jesus Christ, help us indeed to redeem our time, especially in new beginnings. And give us our new beginnings, O Lord, and our second chances, and cause us to be more wise and to build new and better bonds. Protect our marriages. Protect our families and our church. Protect our loved ones and our friends as we would build our houses on you, the rock, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen.